Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our Rock, our Redeemer, and our Savior. Amen. Our final devotion from our Lenten and now Easter family devotional, Afraid? This is the whole ending of Mark. That is, the text we can be sure of. There are other bits that people have added on through the years, but we can't be sure any of them are really the original. Consult your Bible study or footnotes to see what I mean. And boy, it is a weird place to end. They, the women, said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Afraid? Why not overjoyed, surprised, happy, delighted? No, they were afraid. These are not cowardly women. They had the guts to leave their safe room and travel to a tomb to handle a dead body. They knew they were risking arrest or assault. They could face all of those fears, but Jesus' resurrection puts them over the edge. Why? Maybe because for so many, many years, the human race has known only one story: birth, life, death, the end. It is a terrifying and heartbreaking story, but it is the only one we knew. Now comes Jesus, who turns the old story upside down. He is alive, out of the grave, free from death's power, and suddenly anything might happen, anything. What about you? When your life is turned upside down, what is the cure for that kind of fear? Only Jesus. He's the only one who could take their fear, or ours, and turn it into rejoicing. He came to meet them as they ran back to Jerusalem. He comes to meet us too, because he rose and he knows our needs. Well, here I am in the Maureen Murphy Memorial Youth Room. And as you can see, there's quite a bit of damage. In fact, in that corner, you can't see it, is where the major pipe burst on this end of the building happened. And that wall and that area is totally gutted and destroyed. It's scary, right? It's scary. I mean, it was scary for me. The two times I came into the building and it was flooding, the first thing I think of is, oh no, how are we going to get through this? Oh no, how are we going to afford this? Oh no, what if insurance doesn't cover it? Oh no, what if the members get mad at me and think I didn't do everything I could to protect the building? I mean, right? I mean, those fears come in. And then that fear comes into, oh no, what if I'm a bad pastor because I didn't do my job? And, you know, protecting the building isn't really my job, but, you know, that's how those things go. And we don't like it, right? And maybe for those of you here in Texas, maybe your home had some damage too. And it's kind of scary, right? Everything gets overwhelming. Maybe if you've been in anywhere in the country recently with the bad storms and tornadoes, maybe you've had some damage too. And it really is stressful and kind of scary, right? How am I going to make ends meet? As I think about this last year, oh my goodness, as I think about this last year, everything we've gone through, the beginning of the pandemic, the ups and downs, the naysayers and those who believe in conspiracy and false science, the people that I've had people call and say, oh, you've gone to the dark side because you got the vaccine, or you've drunk the Kool-Aid, or whatever that might be. And I'm like, people, just back off a little bit. Back off. But that makes you kind of afraid and lonely and scared about what people think of you. And the whole mask debate, right? And you're kind of afraid, well, what if I encounter somebody who doesn't wear a mask? Or what if things get violent out there because of masks? Or what if I go into a place and nobody's wearing masks, right? And there's fear and anxiety that comes from that. And then, of course, racism explodes into our country in the last year. I mean, we didn't need anything else, and then all of a sudden, the problem with racism that we have for a long time comes to a head. It's unbelievable what a head it came to, right? And we're still seeing that. We're still seeing that racism and hatred in our country, even as we preach this sermon now targeted to Asian people. And then, of course, the election. Let's not even go to the election. That was absolute chaos, right? Absolute chaos. So much hatred, bitterness, fear-mongering, lying from everyone, conspiracy theories that go against the true word of God, and how many people are believing them? People turning against people, family turning against family, friends turning against friends, members turning against members at church, members turning against pastors at church. That's scary. Scary for me as a pastor because I'm like, well, what do you people believe? Do you believe in Jesus or do you believe in your president? Do you believe in Jesus or do you believe in politics? It's scary. From where I sit, it's been a scary year because I look and think, is the church going to recover from this? Is the church going to die? Are people going to come back? Maybe the churches need to die, all of them. Maybe the church needs a resurrection. I don't know. God does something in everything and brings out good from everything. But it's hard to live beyond the fear of the destruction we see, just like this room. And then normal life happens. Some of you were diagnosed with cancer. Some of you had loved ones diagnosed with cancer. Some of you had loved ones die, either from COVID or something else. Many of you have had financial struggles and worries. Some of you, your marriages have imploded in the last year, being home together too much. You're having arguments with your children. You have all the other stresses of life that still compiled and compacted upon you. Also, those normal fears and doubts that we worry about even in our own lives. What about my health? Can I take care of myself? And all the other worries and burdens that anxious people and worrisome people like me tend to make up in our own heads. This last year has been hell on earth. It's like this destructive room, maybe even worse. The fear, the anxiety, the worry, the doubt have piled up on us, and it doesn't seem like it's going to end. Where does it end? Where does it end? But where does it end? This last year has been hell on every one of us. And boy, how this room and the destruction of this church, whew, boy, how it really sums it up well, doesn't it? Yeah, kind of like life. You know, in my own life, I faced that fear and that destruction so many times. And man, I was afraid of it, you know. In my childhood abuse, there was a lot of destruction. I was afraid. And that fear impacted on my life. When my children got married, and my children died, I was afraid, right? Not married, when they died. I was afraid. I'm like, what am I going to do? How is life going to go on beyond that? I remember during that pregnancy, during the time before my daughter was born, my wife was in the hospital 6 weeks. It was touch and go. There were several times her life was in jeopardy during that pregnancy. I was afraid. I was afraid when I was diagnosed with my mental illness. What does this mean? What are people going to think of me? What happens if I do something bad? Are people going to judge me? That fear was compounded when I had a church that was sick in their own right and unhealthy get rid of me because they couldn't handle their own issues in life. So they found out I have a mental illness. And what do they do? That's fear. Their fear, right? And I don't hold that against them at all. I'd be afraid too to have a crazy pastor. And unfortunately, I still live with that fear, right? I'm always afraid that people are going to get mad at me and punish me. I'm always afraid that, can I really trust people? If I live in fear, one of the first things that popped in my mind when the building was destroyed is, oh my gosh, they're going to get rid of me because whatever, they don't like what I did or I didn't do. And that fear, it happens. I remember early on, I would just sit and wallow in that fear. And I would say, woe is me, who can help me? I didn't really say that, but you know what I mean, right? I'm like, "What? Where are you, God? What am I going to do? I don't see a future. I don't see any way out of these traps that Satan has put around me. I feel so alone. I feel so afraid. I don't know what to happen. I remember when my son Jonah died before my daughter Samantha, I was even afraid that what if heaven and Jesus isn't real? What matters? What if I die and nothing is real and there's no heaven or eternity? Fear is paralyzing. There's one thing, though, that I remember very clearly that started in my childhood with the abuse and the chaos that was there and divorce and all that garbage. There's one thing that continued when I remembered to do it, because, you know, as you get older, a child, you know, their faith is more pure and innocent and beautiful. And as we get to adults, we try to find or seek our own solutions to problems, and we try to make them go away. And that's when we see things like more worry and increased anxiety and hatred and racism and grudges and all those things come about, because we're trying to solve our own problems without God. But as a kid, I remember being afraid of certain members of my family, afraid of other people, afraid of what's going to happen next, just afraid, right? I mean, it was scary. And I remember sitting and praying over and over. I would pray something like, God, help me. Just simple, right? God, I'm afraid. God, help me. And over again, there was this voice. And mock me if you want to, make fun of me if you want to. It's not Lutheran doctrine. I really don't give a crap about that, because it's real. I heard a voice, and it was a real voice. A real voice that said, I am with you. You are safe. I love you. And it didn't take me long to realize that was the voice of Jesus. That was the voice of Jesus. For only a God like Jesus, who is living and risen from the dead, who met those women on the road going away from that tomb, running with fear and anxiety because they didn't know what was going on. All that was there was this empty, destroyed tomb. Not even Jesus' body was there. They had no idea. Yes, they heard the angel. And that's scary enough. Can you imagine an angel coming and say, hey, why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Yeah! What in the heck is happening here? That's scariness. Nobody's ever done that before. There's no t-shirt that says, been there, done that before. Well, not when it comes to somebody like Jesus rising from the dead and leaving this empty tomb. What in the world is going on? So they're afraid. They're anxious. They don't know what's going to happen. Jesus meets them later on. He says, don't be afraid. Listen, I love you. Go and tell the disciples, I've risen from the dead. It is okay. I live, so I walk with you. It's only the Jesus of the living, the Jesus who's risen from the dead, who confronted me in those prayers and said, I am with you. You are safe. I love you. Because Jesus has risen from the dead. Because he is alive, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed, hallelujah. Because Jesus is alive and risen from the tomb, we have the assurance that his presence is with us every day. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. Because Satan has lost. Sin, death, and the devil have been destroyed. You see, fear, St. John says, comes from punishment. A punishment that God will destroy us. A punishment that we will be sent to hell. But that punishment has been lifted from us. No matter our past, our present, our future, no matter our sins, no matter how we even, what we even struggle with in our lives right now, no matter the sin, the temptation, the struggle of our life's addiction, mental illness, whatever it is, God loves us. He forgives us. He is with us. All punishment has been destroyed and removed so that you and I will live forever. When Jesus rose from the dead, he sealed the deal of the cross. He had to rise from the dead, because if he didn't rise from the dead, the cross would be in folly and we would be lost to our sinfulness and heading to hell. But because he's risen from the dead, all punishment has certainly been removed. And scripture says there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are forgiven. You will live forever. You are going to heaven. You are with Jesus. And more importantly, Jesus is with you every moment of the day, holding you in your fears and saying to you, I, the risen Jesus, am physically with you. Don't be afraid. I love you. And because we adults get it into our heads that we have to solve our own problems, that increases anxiety and worry and grudges and hate and racism and all the other fears, racism, fear, right? People different than us. Politics, a fear that we aren't going to get our, whatever it is, whatever it is, doesn't matter what the fear is. And because we adults try to solve our own problems instead of going to God first, the risen Jesus who's standing there like, hey guys, I'm meeting on the road, here I am. And our sinful is like, you just stand there, I've got this Jesus, because I know best, right? That's what sin is. God. He gives us word and sacrament. He gives us his word in the Bible, which is his real presence. Jesus is the word. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The risen living Jesus among us. And through that word and the power of the Holy Spirit, he assures us over and over again, I am with you. Do not be afraid. I love you. And then he gives us the precious sacraments, baptism, where he comes into our lives and says, do not be afraid. You are safe. I love you for eternity. You are my child. And in the sacrament, the beautiful, beautiful sacrament of the Lord's Supper, all of the chaos of our life, all the destruction, it goes away. It goes into hindsight. It is gone because in that sacrament, we truly receive what the word and baptism gives us as the grace of Jesus has poured out our lives, as we are forgiven, and he causes our eyes to go forward. He causes our eyes to turn to his face. He causes our eyes to see the cross. He causes our eyes to see the empty tomb, which gives us hope that grasps our heart, which gives us the foundation that fills our souls, which gives us the forward direction of looking to heaven and knowing that no matter what happens in this world, it fades away, for we will live with him in heaven forever because he is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Fear is going to enter your life because we are sinners. And when that fear comes, I want you to look to the empty tomb and see that destruction is in there. The chaos and fear of our lives is in there. It's left in there. It's gone. We don't have to go there anymore. For like the women, we are walking away and putting it in our past. Yes, we must deal with it. Yes, we must heal from it. Yes, we process it with pastors and counselors and friends. That's a good thing. But it doesn't have to weigh us down. It's in the empty tomb. For there is freedom as we bear one another's burdens. That past continues to go into the past, and we are brought into the future, into the risen and living Jesus. So we set aside our desire to figure things out. We set aside our sinfulness to tell Jesus, stop right there where you are. I've got this. We stop the sinfulness of worry and fear and hate, anxiety, grudges, and lack of forgiveness. We stop that. We turn to Jesus, who meets us on the road and says to you, every day, every moment, every second, I, the risen and living Jesus, I am with you. Do not be afraid. I love you, and my peace and life are with you until eternity. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.